I'm Judy Stewart, and you're listening to Unpaused, a podcast for women who want to stage a career comeback or mastermind a new one after an extended break from work. Some of you may have heard of Marie Darge, who's been selling her exquisite tableware, painted by hand, to her own designs and original colour palette for 30 years. She's long been a fixture at the Paris trade fairs, presenting her concept of the art of the table to order to some of the most prestigious retailers in the world. This is an end-to-end operation, with Marie designing the collections, painstakingly overseeing their technical production in Limoges workshops, then taking her wares to market, all the while raising six children. Just after Christmas this year, Marie opened the first Marie Darge standalone store and studio in Paris's 6th arrondissement. Who could have known what the next few months would bring? I followed Marie on Instagram, and in recent weeks, she's brought the world into her family chateau in the Loire Valley on Instagram TV. In charming homemade videos, she's conducted very personal tours of the private rooms of the chateau in which she and her family are living and working together, demonstrating how she uses and enjoys her gorgeous tableware in different domestic settings. Two of her daughters are active now in the business, and together they have crafted some of the loveliest and most diverting tales of domestic life that I've ever seen. It's a surprisingly intimate view of a French family à la maison, with an entrancing fairy tale-like quality that has drawn me and many others right in. This is business and home life entwined in a way that might have been unimaginable just a few short months ago, designed to keep a business thriving during a slowdown that might otherwise have engulfed it. Marie, welcome to Unpaused, and thank you for making the time to talk at what is the beginning of your working day.
It's my pleasure.
I thought I would begin by asking you to describe in your own words your work as an artist and as a woman of business. How do you describe your business, Marie Darge?
It's a long story. When I started, I didn't have any idea of what it was going to become. I was, at the time, a mother of two children, and I was expecting the third one. And I had studied business school, I had studied history of art, and I did this porcelain painting just for fun. And I decided, it was really, not really a decision of making a career in this. It just happened little by little during the years that it becomes a real business. And it was not forecast. And I wanted also to have something where I could have my family life and a working life all together, mixed together. So this was very important for me because I wanted to enjoy both lives, you know. I didn't want that work will be more than family and family more than work. I wanted to have both, yes, to be and to enjoy both. So I always worked, my showroom was always at home. So it allowed me to be a mother, a housewife, and also a working woman.
So let me ask you then, by taking you back a little bit further and saying that I know you had a very interesting upbringing. You spent some time on Martinique with your parents, and that was a very big influence on your early life.
Yes, my mother is Austrian, and we lived in Martinique, so it was a strange mix of culture, a very colorful mix, because Martinique, it's exotic, we are living in the nature. Austria is a very sophisticated, artistic culture with all this Baroque influence. So from both sides, I was completely overwhelmed with colors. It's true that when you look at my collections, I'm very much influenced by the colonial style, the exotic flowers, all these themes that were also very popular in the 18th century, where people were discovering America, Australia, as well, going around the world. And on my collections, you can strongly see this influence. And you can also see the influence of Austria, of my childhood in the summertime in Austria, with the Baroque styles, with all these soft colors, which we contrast with the more bright colors of the exotic island.
There was obviously a very strong artistic gene there. Were you always good at painting and drawing and capturing things from nature?
Yes, since I'm small, I'm always drawing everywhere. It was a problem at school because all my books were full of drawings of flowers, of fashion. I spent my childhood building some houses for my dolls with books and putting flowers as if it was some big green decoration for the house. Since I'm very small, I mean, flowers and interior design is part of my life because my mother was very keen on designing, on decoration. Mm-hmm. And we spent always a lot of time. I remember every week she was going to buy flowers at the marché in downtown. And we are all children expecting how would be the bouquet of the week. And she was doing a fantastic bouquet with these big exotic flowers. So this was really part of our life.
And so when you went to Paris to go to university, you studied interior design or architecture?
In fact, when I went to Paris, I studied first, I was in a business school. And I always wanted, because I wanted to do Les Beaux-Arts. And my parents say, no, no way, because you will become a crazy artist with blue hairs. And so they were quite frightened. In parallel, I was always painting, having some painting lesson for me. And then I also love history of art. I am completely fascinated by the museums, by the painters, the traditional furniture, the modern furniture. I love that. And so I studied history of art at the École du Louvre, and then I get married. So I went away to Egypt. And when I came back, when we settled down again in Paris, that's where I started to do this porcelain painting with friends, just for fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was still studying history of art. And little by little, I started to do my first, so like a private sale with friends. And it went very well. It was a time where porcelain was quite traditional and boring. It was really very serious stuff. And I decided to do some completely different style with a lot of colors, very bright porcelain. And it was something very new. I take my influence a lot from fabrics. I love fabrics. Since I'm very small, in the summertime, when we were coming back to Paris with my parents every summer, we spend a lot of time with my mother, Place Fürstenberg or Rue du Mail, in these showrooms of fabrics. And I remember I could spend days in these showrooms looking at the fabrics. And I could tell you, this is Pierre Frey, this is Canovas, this is Braconnier. I knew them all. And so I could have become a painter for fabric, or, you know, it was just porcelain, but it could have been something else. I had the idea of really transferring these patterns on the plates, on the cups, and looking at porcelain in another way than what it used to be at the time.
And so I read somewhere that you had to paint the porcelain in your apartment and then you had to drive it across Paris.
When I started, I didn't have any place to do my painting. So I was very lucky because I had some friends who borrowed me a little room in the attic, Rue de Rivoli, you know, on the sixth floor. Yeah. And so I had my two little rooms, which were, like, called Chambre de Bonne. And I was painting all day there. I was climbing the staircase and spending all day painting. I remember my break in the day was going down Rue Royale to buy one macaron at La Durée and then going up again to paint. And at the end of the week, I was going down with my porcelain on big trays, going down the sixth floor and bringing all this porcelain to be fired in very big oven, special oven. It takes 12 hours to fire. And I went to République, which is at the other part of Paris. And there was an old man, Monsieur Vincent, and he had this big, big oven and his big atelier where I was firing my things. And I must say that he was really my master because he teach me all his secrets. He didn't have any children, and so he took me under his wings, and I really learned a lot with him. Like it used to be in the traditional time, where you were in a master atelier, mm-hmm. and you were learning from your master. Yeah. So this really, thanks this man, I learned a lot.
And did you feel then that you were being drawn into a very old culture, a culture of artisanship and craftsmanship that was possibly on the verge of extinction?
Yes, because hand-painted porcelain is something that nearly not exists anymore in France. I mean, you find some women painting for the fun, but really to make a real business with hand-painted porcelain, it was very challenging because people would say, no, not today, everything is printed, so no way. And so I arrived in this world of porcelain little by little because I did my first exhibition where I had painted all the things myself. And I decided one day to go to Limoges, which is really the place where porcelain, where we find the kaolin in the 18th century in France, which is this powder used to make porcelain. And so I went there and I find all these little workshop ateliers in the countryside, really. And it was, and it's still a very hard time for these people because it's you have a very big concurrence, I would say, from China. And so a lot were closing. And these little ateliers used to do little pillboxes that they sell a lot to the States, in fact, because people were collecting these little things. And now it has completely disappeared. And so I discovered a whole world which was a little bit collapsing. A lot of these workshops were closing. A lot of these very talented people were, instead of painting, going to be a taxi driver or I don't know what, because they have no job anymore and no future. And so I discovered this world and I had the chance by going around, meeting people, speaking with them, little by little, to find some painters, some little workshops who could work for me. Because I was at a stage where I was already having quite good orders from abroad. In fact, my first big, big order was for Barney's, New York, Barney's, Japan. At this time, I was still painting everything on my own. I think they didn't realize that I was the only one painting because they make a big order and I was painting day and night. Mm-hmm. My mother came to help me. My sister came to help me. I was waking up in the middle of the night, opening the, because at this time I had a little oven already bought. And so I was firing my things. You know, it was crazy time. So I thought I had to find people who would paint for me. So that's how I started to go in the countryside in Limoges and to find these really very talented people. And I was really so happy to be able to tell them, okay, please don't sell your oven, don't sell your brush, don't put them in the cupboard. Let's start something together.
What gave you the confidence to expand your business there? Was it just that the orders were pouring in, that you were doing a lot of marketing? Did you have a lot of support?
The process was very slow. I really did it little by little, like a bird who is doing his nest, you know. And I realized that in this field, there was a lot to do because it was still very traditional and not very creative. And I could feel I have this creativity. I have fantastic painters having a fantastic technique. And I'm quite confident in my imagination. When comes the time to create collections, of course, it's very tended. I mean, it's a period where all your feelings, all your senses are open. So it's a little bit stressing because you think, will I have the inspiration this year? Or will I find the good idea? But you realize that the idea arrives like this. I'm not overwhelmed with ideas, but completely it's a time where I'm quite sensitive because everything you see, you catch it, you know, and can become an idea for creation. You are really, all your body, all your skin is open to ideas. And so I was always very confident on the fact that I have that, this creation yes, I have it. And I'm also very confident in the fact that we need beauty. Everyone has got this willing of having lovely things around in your everyday life. And I realized also, which it was not at all a marketing thing, that luxury is really the slow-made things where you can feel from where they are coming, which things which got a history. Maybe I get this because I studied history of art, and when I see a nice piece, a nice furniture, and you can feel all the love that the person has put to do it, and you understand how it's done. I think everyone has this ability and this happiness of enjoying things which has been done with handcraft work. When I started 30 years ago, the hand-painted things, it was not such a big deal. I mean, people were not thinking about how it's today, about ecology, about wanting to know from where it comes. It was not so important. Today, people are more and more aware of that, how important it is to understand how it's made, from where it comes, if it's done in a good way, if the person who are painting or who are producing are well treated, are living well, these all things becomes very important in the way people are consuming.
I read that you have 220 designs now.
Yes, I have, yes.
How do you like to invite people into your world? How do you get them to discover you?
I think what porcelain is very much linked with art de vivre. You know, what I like in porcelain, in what I do, it's not like doing furniture or curtains. Table, plates, cups, it's something very... It brings you in the intimacy of the people you are sharing with. That's what I love. You are sharing very important time of your life, of everyone's life. Lots of big moments of your life are around the table. Wedding, a birthday, a christening, a lot of things. I have a good friend. She wrote a book, and that's really something very typical from a feast. Because she was married with a journalist, and he had a depression, a severe depression, after having been in the Croatian war doing this journalist work. And the way she could help him was to having this everyday lunch. And she wrote the book about the importance of feast, about being around a table. Mm-hmm. And so I think in my porcelain work, I'm very, very lucky because I really get in the intimacy of my clients. They explain me how they are entertaining. And it's very different from one country to the other. The Middle East, the American, the Italian, the German, everyone has his own way of dressing a table, of doing food. And so this brings me very near my clients, and I love that. I love this way to share the way they will have this important time with friends or with family. So just by being French and telling about my French culture, I think I share a lot with all my clients, which are really all around the world, because they have this curiosity and this appetite to know more about this cultural tradition of having a nice time around the table.
Do you think that in spite of that, I mean, life has become much more casual. Do you think that there's still a place for this sort of very high-end tableware in a more casual life?
Yeah, because I think we deserve to have lovely things in our casual life. And that's also something very important. I'm very against, these porcelain that you would keep in a cupboard because it's very valuable and you don't want to break it. That's what I did a lot. I started a lot with wedding lists when I have a lot of young brides who are doing the wedding list registering with Maridage. And I always tell them, you should use it always. I mean, you are in the kitchen, you are coming after a day of work, you have no time to make some sophisticated cooking, but just to dress a table, just to put some plates, a colorful table, mixing the plates like you want today, you want pink, tomorrow you want red. It brings you happiness when you sit down and you are in front of a lovely table. You shouldn't wait to have your mother-in-law or to have a big thing to do a nice table. And you see now during this confinement, it's very funny how I'm here with five of my children. And every day we make a lovely table. We put flowers on the table. It can be a very simple and it is a very simple dinner, but the fact that you make a nice table, it's also the way you will entertain, the way you will speak with each other, make another atmosphere. I remember when my boys were having parties with their friends and they are drinking, you know, a beer. And I was always there and trying that the table will be always nice looking, because I think it will influence the way they behave. Mm. I mean, beauty, if you feel that someone is taking care of the beauty of the space where you are, you want to also behave in a better way.
What is your favorite thing that you do in your working day?
I love to create in the working day because, you know, every order, every project with a client is a creation. The process to build my collections with my clients is that they will tell me, they will give me a mood board, they will explain me where the thing is going to be placed. It can be, generally I work a lot with interior designer, and I will let them speak, tell me how the style of the space, and then I will pick up in all my collections, in the more than 200 patterns, in the 68 colors, I will pick up things and make a creation. I mean, each set, each order is a new creation. That's what I like. I want something that really people love with our concept, is that they will have something made just for them. We have clients like a woman who would buy one by one a cup and make a collection because, you know, of course, it's hand-painted, it's made in France, so it has a price. So you cannot, not everyone has got the same level of life. But at the end, I want that what you have is unique and it's yours. So my creation, it's not only when I do new collections, when I do new drawings. The creation is a process which is at every order, every project is a creation. Because the way you mix the patterns, the way you mix the colors, you will happen to have something completely different from one to the other. And that's a lot of fun.
Murray, you told me that you have two of your daughters working with you. What advice do you give them about the future and working and how to find something that you love to do?
So Axel, who is working with me since now 3 years, it's funny because we are very different. She is a very perfectionist. I think that the way I build my business with having the children and having to manage everything together, I was always thinking, sometimes you shouldn't wait to be the perfection to do things. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and so I think Axel is fantastic because she has a very high sense of perfection. She is very exigent. I know she is very demanding to be perfect for herself and what she does. She's very creative. But what I try to tell her is, you know, in life you move and it's not important to wait to be the perfection and that everything is under control before starting something. Because if you wait that everything is perfect, maybe sometimes the train is gone. There is sometimes you have to jump in, and even if it's not completely perfect, and you go and you are confident and, you know, things will happen. So I try to share this experience with them on this part. And also this very family atmosphere that I have built with my painters. I think it's very important. And this is something that they can really understand how nice it is in our working team. Because my painters are in Limoges, I am in Paris. We are quite far. I'm not every day with them. But we have really a relationship of big, big trust. We are trusting each other very much. I'm not behind my painters looking if they are working or not. And they trust me a lot also on the fact that I will always be there creating, bringing them some orders, having some work for them, a lot of work for them, sometimes too much work. And I also, what I think my girls can see in the way we work is that I'm very thankful to my painters. They receive a lot of consideration. I think this is very important for people when they... Okay, they can do well their job, but they don't have to do it with their heart and with so much enthusiasm. And this, they have it because they can really appreciate how I'm thankful for them, for what they do. And I think they are really happy to do what they do, and they love what they do, and they are proud of what they do. So this, I think, it's something very important in this working process in Maridage company. I mean, it's a big family.
And so, Mari, I want to come to these Instagram TV episodes that you've been posting on Instagram, because, as you know, I have just absolutely loved them. I know that you opened a store just after Christmas and you couldn't have known that what was about to be around the corner. Tell me what your plan was with Instagram TV.
We worked hard for this shop. We worked like crazy to be ready for spring, and we had to shut down.
It was your first shop, wasn't it, Mari?
Yes, it's my first shop. I used to have my showroom in my flat. I always were working in my flat, and I had this big room where I have all these appointments with professionals. And my flat was always also a kind of a showroom. I used to have some official dinners organized for either for Maridage, or also sometimes I had LVMH or Baccarat asking me to make some events, because, you know, people love to go inside private place, even if sometimes it was some people who used to go in fantastic restaurants, three stars, Michelin restaurant, but to come in a private place, it makes it different. And also every year during the fair Maison et Objet in Paris, I organize a cocktail for my clients. And so I open my house. As I'm really sharing table art, I think it's also important to share your house. That's part of, I think, how I want to have my relation with my clients, to open my house. So I used to, in fact, yes, open the house. And when we arrived here in the countryside, it was quite natural to say, okay, let's open the house where we are, maybe share. So that's what we did. We have the idea because this house, it's an old family house that we have taken over. It's in the family since 3 or 4 generations. And we decided to renovate one part of the house. There is a big part which is still in this old flair, very old tradition. We have to do it little by little because it's a big work. We have to remake all the electricity, everything, because it's very, very old. And so I decided to show the parts that where I put a little bit of my, you know, my flair, my taste. And so I little by little shows the rooms where we are living now. But coming back to the shop, because for me it's very important, because it's a new step in Maridage world. We wanted to find something which would not be only a shop to sell it, more than that, because we moved all the office also there. So now, for the first time of my life, I'm not working at home. I have to take my bicycle every morning and to go to work, which is something I never have done. I find it very convenient when I had the little children to be working at home, because I could close my door at 5, be with them, and open the office again at 10 when, you know, I was working with the US or with country where you are in the middle of the day. Mm. And so I used to be, you know, very flexible in my time.
Mari, I don't know how you have 6 children and hand paint porcelain, I must say. You must have had a very good arrangement.
I mean, sometimes I was, you know, I had a bad feeling, and as I was asking to the children, were you not too angry that your mother was working so much? Because I got the impression that I work a lot, you know, like everyone who has got his own business. There is no end. You can work the weekends, the night, always. And they say, no, you were there. And it's true. I think, in fact, the fact to be at home when the children were coming back from school at 5, they didn't have to open a locked door. You know, the door was always unlocked because I was always there and there was always light in the house. I think I'm the woman who has spent most time in her house than everyone else, because I'm working there. So I'm always, always there. I mean, of course, I'm traveling and having appointments outside, but a lot of appointments are at the showroom because the clients want to see the porcelain. So a lot of things happen in the showroom. So in fact, at home. So when the children were small, it was not always very easy to do both. I bought this flat because there is a very big room going in the entrance. So when the clients were coming, they were not really aware that it was a family apartment. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tell them. I mean, we just get in the showroom and professional. But sometimes you had a little baby arriving, you know, hey, mama! And so they were laughing. So yes, it was always both things mixed. So for the first time, now all the children have grown, so they don't need me at home anymore. And it's the first time that I really go in the morning to work somewhere and come back in the evening back home. So I have experienced that only 2 months because with the confinement, it was not a long period.
Oh, well, it'll come back. Do you have a sort of a habit that you follow every day that spurs your creativity? Do you do things the same way every day?
I start early in the morning and generally I work all day long. I don't stop for lunch. Sometimes I go lunch with friends, but my normal day, it would be really all over the day. And in the evening, I love to have dinners at home. I love to have friends and I love to go out. I'm working a lot with the phone because I love to have conversations with the clients, even if they are at the other side of the world. When I start a collaboration with a client, I always need to speak with this person. So it can be in China, it can be in New Zealand, it can be in Italy, but I need to have a first contact. So I spend a lot of time speaking. During the day, I try to be very strict. At the beginning, I remember when I started to work, I used to have my friends calling me all day, but little by little, I understood that, you know, they couldn't interrupt me during the day. When I had the children, time for myself was something very precious because I didn't have a lot. And the days were, you know, organized with work, children. When I look behind, I think, how did I do?
And Mari, to conclude, what has been the thing that you've most enjoyed about this time of being confined at home and with the family? And what has been the thing that you've enjoyed the most?
I must say it's quite a precious time for speaking again, having big debates, yes. And so we have a lot of debates. I think it's the first time since very long that we are having so much time together. Every evening we do an aperitif and dinner with around the tables. And I have my 3 boys, 2 girls, my son-in-law, my husband, and we are having fantastic debates, sometimes very strong debates, because not everyone is okay with everyone. And it's very interesting. And I'm so happy because there is a strong, even if they're not always okay, which is over, there is a very good family sense. And I think for parents, that's the most beautiful gift you could await from your family, is that everyone gets well together. And this is something, when I look at them and I see them all together, I'm really so happy. It brings me really a big joy in my heart to see that. Because it's the first time also that we are such a long time in the same place. We never spent so much time in the countryside. It's the first time also I look at the nature. And when we arrived, the trees were all with no only wood. And today they are full of leaves and I look at the flowers coming out. It's such an excitement. You know, I love nature. I'm overwhelmed with nature. I'm completely drunk with all these flowers and leaves going out.
I really did this episode to cheer everyone up, myself included. But there were some good lessons here as well. Mari looked at the world of traditional hand-painted porcelain and worked out that while consumer appetites had changed, there was still a customer if the product was brought into the 21st century, and into that world she stepped. Like Bryony Fitzgerald, Mari built Mari Daj little by little. She worked her business around her family by getting business to come to her. She created opaque barriers between home and work. And isn't that what we're all trying to do right now? Mari lived in her working day. If she had to keep friends at bay during working hours, so be it. Once the day was over, though, she closed the door and gave her 6 children her full attention until the lights were out. Only then did she play. A juggle, yes, but then she doesn't seem to have many regrets. That she has 2 of her daughters working in the business right now suggests she was a powerful role model for them. Mari reanimated the communities of skilled local porcelain painters in Limoges, and there are strong parallels with Ruth Ribicourt's story from episode 14 here. Retraining them to paint her designs in a style that mimicked her own, more fluid, more contemporary. This imaginative one-woman powerhouse took a traditional art form and turned it into something modern, exuberant, and definitely commercial. In the process, she both rescued that community and re-enlivened it. It's been a long journey, more than 30 years of effort, persistence, practice, and drive. The Mari Dage brand now stands behind a collection of 200 of Mari's patterns and a palette of 70 of her original colours, all of which she can rattle off by name, like favourite children. She collaborates with designers and customers from all walks of life all over the world, proud that even her most modest collectors are investing in a way of life that she has personally imagined for them. Her next chapter, her first standalone store in Paris, is on hold for now while the lockdown persists. That it's taken 30 years to get to this stage speaks to her mastery of playing the long game. No one could have foreseen that we would all be working from home in the first half of 2020, but if anyone has turned a threat into an opportunity, it's Mari. Follow her on Instagram, it's magical. I'm Judy Stewart and this is Unpaused. You can go to our website and leave a voice recording with your questions and comments for me. I promise I'll come back to you. Special thanks again to producer Leonie Marsh and to Jason Milhouse for his patience and cleverness in the studio. I couldn't do it without you or you, the Unpaused listener. Until next time, farewell.